Oh, it's such a blessing to get to open God's Word each week, and I know I never want to take that for granted, but we also need to understand it's never an opportunity for us just to come and sit and listen to God's Word. It needs to change me every time I read it. It needs to change you every time you read it, every time you hear it. It should change us. We are told that it is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We cannot, should not be able to read it without God using it to change us. But our problem is, my problem, and I'm not going to say it to you, but my problem is sometimes I go into it with the wrong idea. And I say that this morning because I want each of us to come today to hear God's Word, to see what He has for you. Don't worry about the person beside you. Don't worry about the person in front of you or behind you. Worry about where you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I say all of that because we should do that every week. But this morning, as I'm just telling you, I'm probably going to make some people upset today. But I want you to understand this is not aimed at any one person, because this is a message God gave me a while back. And it's one of those that I never know who's going to walk through the door. So I can't aim it at anybody. And I would never do that anyway. But it's one of those things that Jesus spoke. I'm reading it. And what you hear is what God has for you to hear. And it's really that simple. Because I'm not smart enough to figure out something to aim at you. It's just not that way. Today, if you want to turn, we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. And we are going to talk about a parable of the great supper. Now, there's another passage in Matthew where Jesus tells a similar story, but because of some of the things that are said, I believe it's a different time. I don't believe it's a different person's view of the same story. I believe it's a different story, told at a different time. But anyway, Jesus has been invited to these Pharisees' house to eat. And when they would have a feast or a banquet, they would invite people. And there were certain things that they would do. They would send out an invitation and say, hey, December 16th, we're going to have a church dinner. We want you to know. We want you all to stay. We're going to have a church dinner. And so that's your initial invitation. And so when they would have a feast or a banquet, they would send out an original invitation saying, hey, there is going to be a feast. And so then when it came time for that day, on the 16th, they would send out their servant to the people that were invited and give them, hey, it's the day. This is the day of the meal. The meal is ready. And so that's kind of what would happen. So Jesus is invited to the Pharisee's house. And as he comes in, what happens is all of these people want to sit at the most important seat. And Jesus reprimands them and says, hey, you need to humble yourself. You don't want to sit at the best place, because then if that's not reserved for you, you're going to be embarrassed when the host comes to move you. So he corrects the guests. And then he looks around, obviously, I think, because of what he says next. He looks around and he sees all the people that were invited are all the rich and famous people, you know, the popular people. And so he tells the master of the feast, he says, hey, it's kind of obvious that you're inviting people that, if I invite you to my house, then next week you'll invite me to yours. That type of deal. Or people that could repay. And he says, that's really not what hospitality is. So this is the conversation that has taken place right before this parable. So it's probably pretty quiet. I mean, here he's reprimanded the guests for trying to seek at the best place, wanting it to be about them. And he's reprimanded the host because all you've invited are just people that can pay you back, that just make you going to feel better later when they invite you. And so there's probably not a whole lot of conversation going on at this point. And there's this one guy. Let's go ahead and let's read. And we'll start in verse 15. It says, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat in the kingdom of God. And then he said to him, a certain man, Jesus speaking here, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they, with all in one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask that you have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." So that servant came back and reported these things to the master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this parable that was spoken. And Lord, what it is today that you want to teach us, I lift that to you, and I pray that your Spirit would make that real. Lord, help us to seek to glorify and honor you in everything that we do. Lord, we search for you today. We seek your face. We want to see a glimpse of your glory. And it's got to be done by you. It can't be done by us. Lord, reveal yourself to us this day, I pray. In your name, amen. Now, here's this one man, after all this conversation of what Jesus has talked about that we just said, here's this one guy sitting there, and he says, you know, blessed is the man who's going to get to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. Probably a religious Jewish man in his mind thinking, well, you know, all of us Jews are going to end up in heaven. We're all going to be at that great banquet. So, you know, you can talk about this banquet all you want, but man, blessed is the man that one day is going to sit at the table of God in the kingdom. And he probably said it in kind of a, I'm going to be there type of an attitude. And so the man's statement, though it may have been true, well, it really is true. His statement actually is true, because blessed is the person that's going to sit in the kingdom of God. So anybody that makes it to the kingdom of God by the grace of Jesus is going to be blessed. But this man is sitting here saying it probably with the wrong attitude, thinking that all devout Jews are going to be able to be there. And so Jesus comes with this warning. And this warning is something today, and I want you to understand that as I say this, I understand what God is saying to me, and I know what I am supposed to hear from this, and so I pray that you hear what you're supposed to hear. And I am not in any way, don't get me wrong, that I'm apologizing for what I'm about to say, because I'm not. This is the Word of God, and if you don't like it, take it up with Him. Okay? I mean, that's where we're at. But I'm saying this because I want you to understand, I see what God has me to learn from this passage, and my prayer is that you do the same thing. Sometimes I have that attitude of that man sitting there. He's not thinking about anybody else. He's saying, blessed are those that are going to sit at the kingdom of God, and I'm one of them. That's really what he said. And so he's not worried about the servant that's serving people there, or the ones that were fighting for the best place to sit. He's just thinking about himself. And Jesus comes out with this parable. And in this parable, he's going to teach us so much. But understanding where this parable fits with us today. He's talking to the Jews because the Jews rejected the Messiah. And we know that when the Jews rejected Messiah, we as Gentiles were given the opportunity to come in. And so that fits into these next guests that are invited, the latter guests that are invited. And so the ones that it talks about at first are those Jews that have been invited, but they just don't think it's worth it. Coming to the master's house is really not worth it. And that's what he's talking about in their time frame. But I think it relates to us in a very strong way. that Jesus tells us this first man, when the servant goes back out and invites him, and the feast is ready, they began to make excuses. And he said, I just bought a piece of land and I need to go look at it. Very few people buy land without looking at it. Right? I mean, there may have been some cases, and if you've got all the money in the world, you may just buy that island and then go look at it later. But according to most commentaries, when a person, that this man is making this statement, hey, I just bought this land and I need to go look at it, what he's really saying is my possessions are more important than the invitation of the master. Ouch. He's not just saying, oh, I just bought this land and I better go look at it. He's saying, I got all this land and I'm going to go look at it because that's just a banquet that this guy's inviting me to. It's not that important. My land, my possessions are more important than the master's invitation. Today, I think it's really simple that what Jesus is saying, that we all put our possessions at some point in front of devotion to our master. Now here he's talking about an invitation, and we know that invitation is talking about an invitation into a relationship with God. We know that's what that's talking about. And there are so many people that you will talk to and I will talk to, and when it comes down to it, they don't want to give up what they have for a relationship with God. They're in hopes that banquet will be at another day too. I will go some other time to that banquet, but right now my land is more important than what that master is inviting me to. When we sit here and we see this and we hear Jesus say this to these people sitting at this feast, and we know what it's relating to, I don't know if they caught on. I don't know if the people sitting at this banquet, if they realize what he's saying about the fact that, hey, you have an opportunity to receive the Messiah and your possessions are more important than that invitation. But people every day that you and I walk past, that you and I talk to, have that same attitude. But if we look at what it said, it goes back into verse 18, says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. Excuses is a camouflage word for a lie. I mean, that's really all it is. Now, there are reasons that we do things, and there are reasons that we don't do things. But when I make up an excuse, that's not a reason. That's a lie. And that's what this man is doing. He didn't have, that land wasn't going to go anywhere. He had just bought it. It was his. Nobody else was going to buy it. It was going to be there the next day when the banquet was over. But the bottom line is he felt like his possessions were more important than the master's invitation. He goes on to the next guy. Says, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Man, if he has 5 yoke of oxen, he's buying a lot of oxen. He's got a lot of work to do. Maybe that's the way he supplies money. Maybe he goes out and he plows other people's land. Maybe he's just got that much land that he needs that many oxen to help support his family. And so he goes out and he says, I've bought this 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. Have you ever went and bought it? If you farm, have you ever went and bought a tractor without testing it? Have you ever went and bought anything hardly without testing it? Now, nowadays, it's probably easier because you get it on Amazon, but what do? You test it, and if you don't like it, you send it back. Well, here, he's not getting oxen on Amazon. He is saying that I bought these and now I'm going to go test them. Have me excused. This is where people can take this the wrong way. But the bottom line is, we put our jobs before our passion for God. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work on this day, or you shouldn't work that much, or you should do this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't put your passion for that in front of God. That's what this guy did. He's not getting reprimanded for buying the oxen because maybe he needed those. That's not why Jesus is bringing this up. He's bringing it up because the oxen were more important than the invitation to the master. That's where we get in trouble. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to work. If we don't work, Paul says, we don't eat. We are supposed to work and earn a living. We are not supposed to be slothful. We are supposed to be working and doing and earning for our families and for ourselves. But that desire to have that job or that income or that livelihood should never come before your God. Because if it comes before your God, it is your God. And that's really what Jesus is saying here, is this man, though he's trying to support himself, whatever, and maybe he needed those, but did he need to go try them out right now? At the one time, the master said, I've prepared this feast, and I want you to be there. And he said, no, I'm going to go to work. So many are never satisfied when their desire for money outweighs. That's what Jesus is saying here. When your desire for the money outweighs your desire for God, then the money has become your God. Oh, man, Pastor, you're saying that because you work on Sunday. You can say that because when you come to church, you're working. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that our passion for things in this life, whether it's possessions, whether it's our job, and those things are important. The possessions, God blesses us with all of those. But don't put the blessings before the blesser. Don't put the possessions, the job, before the one that blesses you to give you that job. If you didn't have the health, you couldn't work. Where do you get the health from? Then he goes on to this third one. He says, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Who wears the pants in that family? No, I'm just kidding. No, in that time frame, and you understand this time frame, what happened is if a man was married, he was exempt from going to battle. He was exempt from being a soldier because he had been newly married. So he was exempt from going to war. He was not, however, exempt from his social duties. This would be a social duty. This would be a responsibility as a part of the community. If you were invited to this banquet, then it would be very rude if you didn't go. But he's saying, oh, I can't go. Because I just got married. Why not bring her? I'm just throwing this out there, okay? But why not at least attempt to bring her? But he didn't do that. He just said, I can't come. I'm married. Man, Tony, don't laugh. You're going to get smacked. I'm just telling you. But it was an excuse. But it's the same excuse we hear constantly. I don't want to go. And I'm not saying don't spend time with your family. Please do not take this wrong. But what Jesus is saying is, this man is saying his relationship with his wife is more important than his relationship with the master. And of a banquet, yes. But Jesus is giving the understanding, the teaching, that when you think your relationships on this earth, whether family, friends, coworkers, when you think they are more important than your relationship with God, one of two things is going to happen. God's going to turn you over to that relationship, and you can have that relationship all you want. Or God can take that relationship away from you. I've had it happen. I put a person, my wife, before God when we were dating. And what happened was God tore us apart until we got our priorities right. Now we've been together 33 years. But you cannot put a relationship with a person before God. It doesn't work. The children of Israel tried it all the time. They put their possessions, they put their money, they put people, they put little idols all before God. And look where it landed them. We have to understand that we cannot put those things before God. Whatever these things were that Jesus is telling in this parable, he's telling this one man specifically, blessed is he who eats in the kingdom of God. Yes, but you better make sure that that's you. Because Jesus says not everybody that's invited is going to go into the kingdom. Well, we know that according to what we read in the Bible, we know that God desires all to come to repentance. That's His desire. He's invited everybody. Hell was created for the devil and his demons. It was not created for people. Because God wanted all people to come to Him. He provided the way through Jesus Christ. He made it possible that every single person on the face of this earth could have their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's your invitation. We all know that. We can read it. The Jews knew from the Old Testament that the Messiah was going to come. The Messiah was going to be their Savior. That was their original invitation. Your original invitation, you may not have understood it for a long time, but it's the fact that God sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved. That was our original invitation. But then the Bible tells us, like here, when the meal was ready, servants went out and told people, hey, it's time. Well, it's not a certain day, but we know that the Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to be born of a virgin. That's when the personal invitations started. That's when the personal invitations started. And when you came to a point in your personal understanding of realizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and there's a Savior that died for you, that was your personal invitation. Too many times when that happens, I have possessions, I have jobs, I have people that are more important to me, God, than you are. That's what we tell Him. That's what we tell Him when we first understand that invitation for you is personal. What are you going to do with it? Is something else more important than that relationship with the Master? Now here, this Master, He created a great feast and He invited all these people. I don't know what the feast cost, all the food and all the preparations. I don't know what they cost, but it was expensive, I'm sure, to have all these people come. But it was nothing compared to what God paid for you. That's the blood of Jesus. We need to understand that we cannot put things before God. Things don't outweigh God. Passions do not outweigh God. Desires do not outweigh God if your scale is right. So after these guys begin to make these excuses, the master of the banquet turns to his servant. This is where it's going to get pointed. Because if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior already, then you are a servant of the living God. And everything He's going to say is aimed directly at you. So let's look at that part of it. He says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. That's not my job. That's a pastor's job. That's a Sunday school teacher's job to do that. That's a deacon's job to do that. Looks to me like it says the master said to his servant, go. Now, I'm not saying he's telling you to go to Zimbabwe, because he's not. He says go to the city. Go to the streets and the lanes of the city. Now think about that, because the streets and the lanes of the city would be in the town where this feast was going to happen. So you need to go, servant. You need to go to the places, the streets, and the lanes where you're going to meet people. People that you're going to see every day. You need to go out and invite them. He says, go out to the streets and the lanes. Go out to Stockton and go to Casey's or go to the coffee shop or go to the golf course or go to the school. Go to the places you meet people. And you go and invite them. And not only does he just say go, he says go quickly. See, I think that's our biggest problem sometimes as Christians, is we block out this, I'll go, but we block out the quickly part. Why do you suppose the master said quickly? Because there's going to be a time when that door's shut on that feast. And if those people don't come quick, they're not getting in. And there's going to be a time when Jesus Christ splits that eastern sky. And that door is going to be shut. Just the same as the ark, the door was shut on the ark. And those people that were outside were outside. What we have to understand is we need to go quickly. We need to reach those people quickly. They're running out of time. If you're a Christian, then you're not running out of time, because the sooner that time gets here, the sooner you're going to go to heaven. But where you're running out of time is that person that you work with or you're on a team with or you have a family member. They are running out of time. So go quickly to the streets and the lanes, the city, and bring in the poor, those that don't have anything. And it's not talking just money. Those people that have no spiritual riches. Those. When we look at them, we're not talking down on them. But those poor people don't have Jesus. When something goes on in my life and there's something terrible that goes on, I have Christ to lean on. Those poor people don't. They have to face the things in this world alone. Without God. Without the grace and mercy of the Creator of this universe, those poor people. And they're going to stay poor people until you and I do something about it and share Jesus Christ with them. Go to the maimed. Man, those that are just beaten down. Man, life beats you down to the point that you are just maimed. Those are the people that need somebody that can pick them up. It's just too easy to walk past them. And I can remember when I had to go through that. But I got through it. They will too. That'll make them strong. That'll make them tough. Rub some dirt on it. That's our mentality. They'll get through somehow, and it'll just make them stronger. The lame. Those that are just hurting. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's spiritual. But they are just hurting. And they've been that way their whole life. And they just aren't getting by. And you have the opportunity. It always blew my mind that these people say, well, and don't get me wrong, I know God can still heal anybody and everybody. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. My God is still a God that heals. I can give you testimony after testimony. But those people that want to say, hey, I'm a healer, come to me. Come to me. No, why don't he go to St. Jude's? I mean, honestly, That's maybe a different story, but that's the people we need to reach are the ones that are hurting, the ones that are lame, the ones that are that can't do anything. And then this last category, those that are blind. And I don't believe it's talking about physically blind. Because the Bible says the gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. They are blind. They don't understand the things of the Spirit because they're blind. We need to go quickly to the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. The servant did. The servant said to the master, "It's done. I've done as you commanded. I went to all of those people. And there's still room." Well, you know, I went and witnessed to people, and I was told a long time ago, if you witness 10 people, one of them is going to listen. Hey, I already reached my one. It's done. But this master saw that there was, this servant saw that there was still room. Man, God, there's still room in here for other people. That's the heart I want of this, of that servant to look and say, God, there's still room for more people. Don't give up on us. We know this world is getting really sad. But God, there are people, there's still room. Change my heart so that I will go quickly to all of these people. And I will do what you called me to do because, God, there's still room. You saw there was room for me. Do I see there's still room for others? Or am I content because, God, it's done? I've went and talked to them already. They didn't want to come. And the master said to the servant, man, does he ever quit talking to this servant? The master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Before, he went to the streets and the lanes in his city. Think about this. That's where you live, in the city. We all want to go to the streets and the lanes. We want to go to the people in our circle and the people in our city. But he says, go out to the highways. Highways are not in the city. Highways are out between cities. I've got my circle. You've got your circle. We need to reach the people between our circles. The highways are not in your circle. And the hedges, if you're going to find people in hedges, you're going to have to look for them. Think about that. Let that soak in. It's one thing to go to the cities and the lanes and see the people you meet. It's another thing to see the people out on the highways, out in the open. But the ones in the hedges, you've got to get down and dig and look in the hedges for them. They're not going to come to you. It's really easy for me to sit back and say, well, I'll talk to anybody that wants to come to my office between 8 o'clock and 3:30. That's the mentality sometimes that we have. We're supposed to go look in the hedges. How many of you have ever... We have hedges in front of our house. Or they're like holly bush hedges. Has anybody ever been around a holly bush? Man, you stick your arm back in those things and it comes out scraped, bloody. But man, if you want to get back in there to change that light bulb, you got to go through the hedges. If you want to reach those people, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be comfortable. But that's where they're at, in the hedges. Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them is not to beat them over the head with your Bible. I got a bigger Bible so I could beat more people. That little one I had, it wasn't doing any good. It was like this big. Man, not now. Check this out. If I smack you, Tony, you're going to feel it. And that's our mentality sometimes, is we think we've got to just go out and browbeat them to come to church. No, we are to compel them with that urgency of understanding that we are as broken as they are. And I can't come to somebody and say, you need to change because you're going to hell. You need to be like me. No. I need to come to them and say, I am broken. I am as broken as you are. I may just be broken in a different way. But the bottom line is, God is trying to put my pieces back together. Because He's my Savior and He's my Lord. And He wants to do the same thing for you. We have to compel them to come in. They're not going to come in on their own. And I'm not talking about come into this church because this is a building. I'm talking about coming into a relationship, to a sit-down feast with Jesus Christ. That's what we compel them to come to. For I say unto you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. What he's saying there is those people who were invited but put everything else before me, I wasn't important enough. They didn't desire me over things, people, lifestyles. They're not going to come in. And it's not because I'm a terrible person, because I invited them all. But they're not going to come in because they chose not to. Everybody on the face of this earth has been invited. But the problem is too many people don't want to. And then they get mad and they say, well, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? He doesn't. You send yourself when you refuse His invitation to heaven. There is no other alternative. It's heaven or hell. And if you refuse the invitation to heaven, then you are choosing hell. God is not sending you there. He's made a perfect way through His Son to make it to heaven. But you have too many other things in your life that are important. More important than a relationship with the Creator of this universe. So as I wrap up this morning, there are probably people sitting here today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe they're watching on Facebook. Nothing you have is worth sending your soul to hell. A relationship with Jesus Christ is prepared for you. Don't put these things in front of that choice. And for those of us that are Christians, go quickly. Find the hedges. Because we're running out of time. We need to make sure that the invitation is there. The RSVP, that's on them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for all that You do. God, change my heart. Help me to love, to see, to fight the hedges, to seek with urgency. God, if there's anybody out here, and I know there is, Lord, that invitation is open to them. Lord, nothing I can say is going to change that. Lord, I pray You speak to them, that they feel Your love. Lord, we bring this time to You, that we open our hearts before You. God, we love You. We love You so much. In Your name I pray. Amen.